And as soon as I saw the light, I was like, oh my sweet goodness and gracious, this is what we're doing instead. And I'm bringing this to all of my people, and I'm gonna, you know, and within 5 quarters, like, we were back into $1 million in sales.
Hey there, peeps. This is Michelle Nedelec. Thank you for listening to the show. I would love if you could give us your opinion on how you felt about the show, your experience that you have in regards to what we've been talking about. I am having an absolute blast, but your input is like dynamite on that explosion. So give us your input. We'd love to hear from you. Any questions, comments, concerns? Give us everything you got. We love it. Thanks. Hope you're having an awesome day. Welcome to 7 to 8, our special series on 7 to 8 figure entrepreneurs. In this special series, I interview $1 million, some $10 million, and even some $1 million business owners who uncover their twists and turns in their entrepreneurial adventure in order to help you to avoid the potholes and stick to the fast track. Welcome now to Center Stage, our next special guest. Hey there, peeps. This is Michelle Nedelec, and I am super glad that you're here with us today because I'm here with my most amazing guest, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a blessing. So appreciate it.
Awesome. So give us a highlight of who you are and what you do for business.
Yeah. So my name is Elizabeth Purvis. I'm the creator, CEO of Seven Figure Goddess. And what we do is help transformational leaders. So when I say that, I mean the coaches, practitioners, healers, conscious experts who are really like nerds for the transformational work. This is the distinction. It's like those of us who really love to do change work with people and get them a different outcome. Either we're doing that, through a modality like hypnosis or NLP or something, or we're doing that through something like growing a business because there's all sorts of change work in that too. But those who are really interested in transformation, I call them magicians, who love to do the work, helping those people scale to high multi-six or seven figures in the simplest way possible, using, instead of having a big marketing apparatus, using email and posts instead of things like webinars, launches, sales calls, all of that.
What? Easy? Okay, we're gonna get into that. But before we get into
Simplest, not always easy, but the simplest. Like, there are
Sim
peeps
well,
who
yeah,
want to
so
stay in their
sim
lane of doing the transformational work and they don't want to have marketing as a second job.
Got it. Absolutely.
Right.
So,
Yeah.
well, among other things, and some people tend to get in the muck of rather
Yeah.
than doing the thing. So, yes, we will
Yeah.
totally get into that, but let's kind of back up the bus a bit. How did you get into this as a career choice?
Oh my gosh. Well, it's if we go, there's been, so I'm someone who, I'm old guard. I'm old school. I've been in the online world as an online coach, teacher, mentor, et cetera, since 2007. So I've been at this for a really long time. So there's been lots of pivots along the way. There's been a lot of, like, you know, blindly finding the way to the thing that I was always meant to do. So,
Yeah, we were pivoting long before pivoting was a cool thing to do. So
right.
now we're the cool
Before
kids.
pivoting was cool. And there's, for myself, there's been a lot of kind of cognitive dissonance. There's been like, what the fudginators am I choosing this for? Like, I thought I was going to do this. So I started out as a, like, I have a master's in computer science of all things. So when I left college and I got the degree, I was like, all right, I was an engineer, a systems engineer, so building computer networks for like 10 years. But I always knew that wasn't my thing. But I also loved it because I love the creative building. I'm a nerd for building and creating, right? So I was doing that, or I was doing esoteric work. I was running around New York City learning from
You know,
various,
either computers or esoteric.
yeah,
That's I love
metaphysics.
the
Like, I'm a
Renaissance in that.
big nerd for the metaphysics and the magic and magics. So I was either doing magic or building computer networks, but I thought I was going to be a writer. I thought what I was going toward was being a fiction writer, and I was in the comics industry, and I was dating comics rock stars and hanging out with all those people. And I thought, you're going to be a writer and write books and talk about magic in books. And that's how it's going to go. So I
Makes
quit
sense.
my job in 2007 to do that. And I get out and I got a side hustle. I got a little side gig to pay the bills, writing direct response copy, writing sales letters for like astrology reports and crystal Merkabas. And I was
That's
like,
awesome.
yeah, it was really, you know what? I was like, holy bananas. I actually really love this. And I was in this crazy identity crisis because I was like, but I'm supposed to be a fiction writer and no one's going to, oh my goodness. And my friends are going to think I'm a weirdo. Like there was all of that conversation. But, and I also couldn't understand why I was being guided to study marketing with hardcore direct response marketers. So at the time, this was before the Instagram and the Facebook. This was way before any of what we have now.
Right.
This was like, you know, when and like squeeze pages were being invented. And I'm here going, why was I guided to do this? That's just like, I don't get it. And I had a lot of distance around it. Finally, I got to the point where I discovered coaching and I knew I wanted to teach the metaphysics, but I was like, I need a vehicle. Like, I don't sit around and just do metaphysics for the heck of it. It's like we put the football through the goalpost kind of thing. And I found transformational leaders in coaching and high-end offers. And I was one of the very first mentors back in the day in 2008, 2009 to teach the high-end model back in the day. And, so I had to build my skill set. So that transitioned into a whole bunch of time building my skill set and building up my first set of programs, you know, as million-dollar revenue streams and having million-dollar years. And I had programs that were aimed at beginners, and helping them, you know, go to six figures. And I had two programs, one on high-end programs and one on getting to six figures. And, you know, I built that business to $2 million. And I was like, I'm not doing this anymore because this isn't my work. I need to go to the next level, which is a lot of what we help people with. We find people who are at that like low 200K mark, who know they're supposed to be doing some other work in the world.
Yep.
So now to build my business to that point, because this is relevant. I shut that down at like the end of 2016, early 2017. I closed all those programs. Until that point, I had been the master launcher. I learned PLF inside and out. I learned webinars inside and out. Automation hadn't quite got off the launch pad yet. So things, scaling was a real launchy way back at that time. And the whole time, you know, because I'm just like, I'm in it for the breakthroughs. I want to do the magic. I want to do the transformation work with people, even though I'm doing something really practical. I was like, I don't want to do all this. I don't want to run a live event and do 50 things to put one butt in the seat. Like that's a second job. Like I don't want to do it, you know? So there were a couple of other pivots I won't get into, but there came a point because I developed my magic, the metaphysics programs at the same time. And I finally really was like, I finally figured out like, you know what, I need to go back to teaching high end and I need to teach leaders how to get their magic in the world. Like that's what I'm here to do, at least in this period of time. And I can't do it the old way. I can't do it with the launches. I can't do it with webinars. I can't do it with all the stuff. And again, because I know you do a lot of automation and I had never gotten on that bus in particular. Like I was.
Well, just yeah, I am a huge advocate that it is not for everyone.
Yeah.
You right. need There's to no understand one way. This is not for everyone. If you have, to me, simple and easy is the way to go. And we can argue the semantics of those words, but, like to have a lifestyle where you are, it's you, a phone, a merchant account. I am a huge advocate, like do that all day long. You got to be a special kind of crazy to go, hey, I want to have 50 employees. I want to.
You do. And it's I say, want that.
If you have that special kind of crazy, there are ways to make that simple and easy, but you don't have to overcomplicate that either. In fact, you can run a business like that without really being there a whole lot. You make a phone call. Hey, how's everything going? Awesome. Do you need anything? Nope. Great. Okay. Bye.
Yeah. Totally.
But the getting to that is a totally different thing. So yeah, I'm totally on board with you. And for those people that think I have to have 50 employees, I have to have, you know, six VAs following me around all day. It's like, no, you don't actually. No,
six VAs. No, yeah,
you don't.
And for our people, it's the, I have to do the live launch. I have to have the sales team.
And
I
for those who don't know what a PLF is, it is pretty.
It's product launch formula, which is the way, which is no, a fantastic.
It's hell. It is the world's worst way to do a launch unless you want to get $1 million or $2 million instantaneously. but it is an intense amount of work. Like, it is the quote unquote worst, best way to make money in the industry.
Yeah. And I mean, I could have a 3-beer conversation. I know Jeff Walker. I love him dearly.
I actually launched
in 2008, whatever. Anyway, I was like, I don't want to have a marketing apparatus and I can't do this in the old way. I just want to do the magic and I want to build my empire in a different way. And I know that I want to bring an alternative to my magicians who don't want to do that stuff either. And so that was really the thing. And so I did a little manifestation experiment and I was like, show me the guy. Cause I knew the way to do that was to help them really focus on their offers and their messaging, to position their stuff and have the right message so that the right people say yes. And very simple ways to do a sales process in email and posts and a PDF file. So I was like, well, who's the guy who knows more about offers than me? And here he comes, and his name is Travis Sago. He's my mentor, and I'm licensed in some of his stuff to do this. And as soon as I saw the light, I was like, oh my sweet goodness and gracious, this is what we're doing instead. And I'm bringing this to all of my people, and I'm going to, you know, and within 5 quarters, like, we were back into $1 million in sales.
Nice.
You know, just from existing traffic, you know, existing audience and positioning the offers in the right way. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the way. And I'm like, this is my lane. I'm staying in it. I'm showing people how to get to that first million. Mm-hmm. And most of our folks, they get to about 7 or 8 and they're like 700,000 or 800,000. They're like, okay, I'm good. Like, I have enough, whatever, but you can get to the first 7 figures without having to, you know, with just PDF files and emails and posts when you have the right offer and the right messaging and the right person.
Absolutely. And my biggest thing is there is no right way to do this. There is your right way to do this. That's all there ever is. That's all there ever will be. And when you decide what your way is, you know, the resources come or resources come and plant seeds and go, that sounds like an awesome idea. And there you go.
Yeah. And one of the things I always say, and I'm curious, I would love to hear your take on this. One of the messages that I'm trying to get out in the world to our people, because they see all the different ways. They see all the different ways. And I like to say that your choice of how to scale is one of the most important decisions you'll make.
Because how
you scale determines how you live your life. It determines how you spend your time. It determines your experience. And you actually get to consciously choose that. You get to,
of course,
like, take a hot minute and figure that out. You know,
absolutely. And so what I usually do is say, hey, what's your lifestyle first? Let's look at that. What do you really want this for? Why are you doing this? And what's the end game? Because without that, everything else is moot. And once That's you true. Know what that thing is, you can eliminate 95% of your options because they're not going to fit. It's just like, well, that was easy. Okay. Now what do we do? Right, like,
so
let's make that whole process easy. Like, it doesn't have to be, just start with the end, draw, you know, take dental floss, shortest line between those two points, and off we go to the races.
So true. I just love that. I'm so glad you pointed that out, because it's like, well, how do you want to? Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of conversation in my part of the online space about working too much and having too much and doing too much client. I actually love client work. It's the thing that jazzes me the most. Like, I love facilitating our programs. I love my family and my lifestyle as well, but I get more out of being in our programs and facilitating transformation. Like, that's what I love to do. So a big part of this for me has been, how can I do that more? You know?
Nice. Well, and to some people it's understanding there's a huge difference between organizing an event and being on stage.
Right.
I love showing up and being on stage. I hate organizing.
I bet.
Like, no, that's not my thing. That is so not my thing. Like, I will pick the colors and tell you I prefer the candles over the flowers. Like, I'm okay with that part of it. But the rest of it is like,
right, I'll tell you how I want you to make the room pretty for me.
Unless I'm the wedding planner. Like, if I'm the one behind the scenes, then I totally take over the show and that's my job. But then I don't show up on stage the day of the wedding, so to speak.
Yeah.
So let's go back to this, because my next question is going to be like, what made you decide, hey, $1 million is the thing I want to do this time again? Because oftentimes I hear the first million's the hardest. And I'm like, well, it sounds like the first million's always the hardest because we always do it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that.
And then we go, oh, okay, how do I want to do it right? And the second one's easier. So talk to me about that.
First of all, I just, you know, to me, money and impact are tied. And I'm why? Really in it for the, what's that?
Why for you? Why do you see their, that them that they are tied?
Yeah. Thank you. And I want to make that distinct because that's an internal thing that I'm up to. Like that doesn't necessarily have to be the case.
Well, I see it as combined because I see money as value.
Yeah. Money
and
is
impact,
value. Yeah.
Therefore is just a symbol of the impact that you're making on somebody. And if I can make a huge impact on somebody and they're like, yes, it's fantastic. Here's a ton of money. I go, awesome.
Yeah, exactly. To me, it's the measuring stick of how much value I'm putting into the world. And we can get into the shadow side of that because there's a shadow side of that. And, you know, I've had to really unpack for myself, you know, how much of this is my ego and blah, blah, blah. And then there's a certain part like, well, I don't care. Like, I don't care if my desire for huge impact, my desire for bigness is ego. A lot of what to me and on the metaphysical side, what I know is, and this has been backed up by biology and evolutionary psychologists and such, we are wired for increase. We are wired to desire more, capital D, capital M. Mm-hmm. And my creative impulse is huge. And my desire to make a huge impact is just full on to 11. That's not true for everybody, and that's okay. And there's no judgment. We all have the desire for more express itself in different ways. But for me, it's like, I'm in it for the breakthroughs and I want to help a lot of people create breakthroughs. And then also the deeper piece of my mission is, you know, one of the things I left out of my story was getting marching orders from the divine, right? And I'm who I call goddess, right? And she was basically like, look, you're part of the movement to bring magic to the mainstream. And even when I was a child learning about, you know, metaphysics for the first time, I was like, this is some cool schniz and it's totally undervalued and people totally have it in the trash can. And that's a problem for me. Like, I want this tool set in all the different modalities to be out there in the world. That's always just been, I feel like I came in with that. So for me, the money and why seven figures is because that's like my big vision. And that's one of the things that really motivates me. And the money is a part of that. Like I love to craft, I love to make stuff. And one of the ways, because I ended up with a comics artist as a husband, you know, and he thought we were going to be off creating comics together. And it was kind of a rude awakening when I created a business instead. You know, but I explained to him, like, creating a business is a lot like knitting a hat, but it's a lot more lucrative in this weird way, right? Like, but it pushes the same buttons, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a part of me that just loves to make stuff all day. Like there's a part of me that'll be like, I would just kind of just sit and crochet blanket after blanket for days, but there's no impact there. Like, unless I'm on YouTube showing other crocheters how to make blankets, like there's only, or giving them away to various charities and stuff. You know, the part of me that really desires the impact is not getting met, you know? So for me, the money, like, why do it? Because I just want to see magicians making a ton of money. I want to see them. I like to say making more than most doctors, you know, not because I love doctors. My brother is a doctor. He's an emergency medicine doctor, you know, and is an amazing human being. But like the folks that I know who've created epic transformations for peeps in some non-traditional way, using ancient technologies that have been kind of brought up to date, like, I just want them making a ton of money. And so I get to make money when I do that, you know?
Nice. Love it. So yeah. when you had the opportunity to do it again, and you took that opportunity, clearly, do you feel like you did it right the second time?
Gosh, I've screwed up so much stuff. No.
No,
honestly, this is a little bit of like a, you know, into the healing weeds. But I think you can appreciate, I think you'll, as someone who helps people create the systems to create the business, you'll get this. relationships first. If we're going to create something that's bigger than us, we need to be in relationship with people. Even if it's one VA, even if your business model to create 2 million where you're pocketing 700 grand of that a year, and there's some of it is going off to taxes and I don't know, whatever your numbers work out to be, relationships are key. And you have to, at a certain point, be able to empower others. And for me, relationships are my biggest edge. You know, for those of you who are familiar with attachment theory, I went on a whole big attachment healing journey. And the first time I built my business, I didn't know the relationship patterns that were affecting my team. I didn't know that there were relationship patterns affecting money and clients and all the things. And so a big part for me is like, I had to get that cleaned up. And then I had to learn the actual, you know, especially for what we do, it's very high touch. It's very, you know, like we're right in there helping you create the offer. You know, we're helping you create the messaging. So I needed to learn how to lead people, and I needed to learn how to also, this is another piece, because I'd blown up several iterations. I needed to learn how to deliver the service in a way that was replicatable. And I didn't see that until I was in the weeds of it. If that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
So when I say, and I guess, I don't know, be kind to myself. It's not like I did it. I didn't do it right, but I didn't know that all of that was baked into the deal.
Right. Well, and sometimes you don't pick up that little stone that's hidden in the weeds until you're in the weeds.
Going, yeah.
A pebble. It's pretty.
Yeah. Like at a certain point. So I had a real like crisis point, right? Yep. There was a point in round two where I got, where I was like, okay, I have a business manager who's doing way too much. And I have a couple of people underneath her that are doing, you know, some of the more hands-on, lower income tasks, whatever, however you want to designate, however you want to. Yeah. Admin stuff. Thank you. That's what I'm looking for. And when she left, I was in like, it was an oh shniz moment.
Yeah.
Right. Oh yeah. It was bad. And here I've got two transformational containers full of people who are in a transformational process in addition to being in a business building process. And there was no way I could kind of keep my arms around all of that. Right. Because business coaching is, well, at first I asked myself, I was like, okay, so
self,
are you going to do this right? Or are you going to put a Band-Aid on it? What's the end vision? The end vision is this. The end vision is that you help 1,000 transformational leaders get to high multi-six and by high, like 7, 8, 10, 9, 10. I want to help 1,000 of them get there as fast as I can. I don't know how long that's actually going to take, right? But that's kind of the benchmark. And it's arbitrary. I can change it anytime, whatever. But this is what I want to do. So I was like, okay, well, I can't just hire another OBM. Like, I can't do that. I've got to actually sit down and look at what it's going to take to do that. And that's when I started to figure out, that's when I started to have some of this stuff revealed. Because when I made that decision, I was like, oh yeah, I'll hire some people, I'll create the systems, I'll do the scaling, right? The ops part. When really the first thing I had to figure out was, okay, how do we really deliver this program in a stellar way? Who do I need to help me do it? What is it that we need to deliver in there? And, you know, how do we make it repeatable? So that was like because that took a little, it took a hot minute, you know?
Right.
And yeah, it did. It was like, cause this is the thing about blowing it up and starting over again is like your product, you have to figure your product out. No matter what you're doing, you have to figure your product and your deliverable out. And there was a lot of things that I obviously knew and I'd taken myself through it, but I hadn't, you know, there's a lot of nuances. There's taking yourself through it, and there's taking 1,000 leaders to $1 million.
Yeah. Those are two separate things. And you bring up a great point, though, because sometimes I notice that change happens whether you want it to or not.
Right.
It's like, oh, this would be a great opportunity to just shut everything down and figure out where we should rearrange things. It's like, nope, this is not perfect at all. This is nowhere near the right time, but hey, I guess we're doing
it now. But now I'm in it. I said yes to the assignment. So, okay.
I no longer have a business manager, so we're doing it now. there we go. So to people that are going through that, whether somebody quits, a key person quits or dies, or, you know, something catastrophic happens, because more often than not, something catastrophic happens when we're in that moment.
And something catastrophic is going to, like, something is going to happen at some point or another. Like, this is how it showed up for me, but none of us get out of, like, nothing happening for 20 years at a time.
Exactly. So if somebody's in that moment right now and they're finding themselves going, what's your advice to them getting through that moment?
Yeah. So first of all, just breathe. Like, you're never, I am one of those folks that feels that you're not given something that you can't handle. And in fact, there's a reason why this opportunity has shown up for you, right? I was just coaching one of our clients today. He's he runs a firm that's at like 2 million, and he's done a lot of scaling, 2 to 3, whatever. And he had a thing I was coaching him on, and I was like, what are you being asked? Like, he was being taken back to basics. Like, you know, he has someone on his team and he has to kind of go, he's out of the weeds for most, but he's kind of pulled back into management. And I'm like, what are you being asked in this moment? Right. So when the unexpected things happen, you go like, what's the invitation? Like, what am I being shown? That's another question. So that was that's the first thing. And I would also invite you to really check in on, like, what you really want to do. Like, it's a perfect opportunity to go, okay, what is my goal here? And is that, am I choosing an aligned goal for myself? So I had to ask myself, like, are you going to do the thing of this 1,000 liters thing? Like, are you going to do that? Are you really going to do it? Is that what we're doing? Yes. Okay. You know? And then from there, you get to just problem solve and to take the emotional charge out of it. That's the hardest part. And I imagine you probably give this advice to all your clients. Like, you get to just, you know, take the any emotional stuff out of it and turn it into, like, this is just a thing, and come at it from a place of, you know, neutral observer and witness consciousness, as I'd like to say. Our mutual friend, Jennifer Longmore, she has a beautiful phrase I just love. She's like, there's nothing 911 about my business. And I know what she means by that. She's like, I don't let anything get 911, but I think it's just a really beautiful thing to remind ourselves that unless you're in real-time computing, like, where the computers have to work or people's heart monitors fail, there's really nothing 911. It feels 911. It does. And that feeling is legit. Right. But we create emergencies that are within our scope of tolerance, unless it's complete, like, act of God stuff, which is a whole other conversation.
Well, so I think that even the whole act of God thing, there's always a benefit to it.
Right.
It's super weird to ask, okay, so all hell has broken loose. What's the benefit here? Well, the demons are no longer in the cages, so that's good.
That's right.
Like, I don't know. There's nothing good about this. It's like, there has to be something that wasn't working before it happened. And this is the opportunity to change it, because chaos precedes all order. And when we understand that, the demons are loose.
Right. And again, it's like, what am I being asked? And for me too, another thing, and this is like, I knew that she was going to quit. Like, let's be real. We always know in that particular case. You know, and I do a lot of, they call them my CEO walks, where I'm downloading stuff and talking to various, you know, various light beings on the other side. Yeah, exactly. I'm talking to whoever, and, like, I'm receiving information, and I'm like, I'm an auditory processor. So I talk through stuff to work it out. Yep. And, you know, I knew that there was something to deal with. I just thought I had a little more time to deal with it. You know, but, like, we always know it wasn't a surprise, you know?
Yep.
And so that was another invitation. It's like, that's the demon is out of the cage, so to speak. It's like, okay, so what have you been ignoring that in the future you're being invited to not ignore? You know?
So when you were putting everything back together, what was kind of the key to you was, yeah, we're helping these people. We're going to do this thing. And now how do you do it? Did you get another OBM in? Did you like rally the troops and go, hey, this is what we're going through. You guys got to pick up the pieces. How'd you do it?
No, it was, it really became clear. It was like, okay, well, cause so this is awesome. It's a super practical question. So I sat down and I was like, I triaged with a couple of people. There's a couple of like ops geniuses and team geniuses that I have on speed dial for when I, you know, need like immediate assistance immediately. And so I sat down with one of them and I'm like, okay, what do I need to do? And she's like, well, you got to actually look at your end game. Like if your end game is 5 million a year, cause, and it could be anything, right? Like, yep. There's a part of me, this is a little bit of a sidebar, but like, there's a part of me that would love like $100 million business a la Brooke Castillo, but that's not my path so much. Like, I know there's something else other than this. So, and there's different challenges when you're talking about 7 to 8, it's like, you know, I was like, well, all right. I know 10 is like the 10 is a good number for me to grok, and 5 is halfway to 10. So I'm going to kind of like get that down in my mind. I'm not going 100 though. That's not my, I know that's not my thing. So Tina, I was like, okay, so you want to start to actually map out that path. Now you have a beautiful opportunity to do that. Like go write your org chart. So I hired someone who has built 9-figure businesses. And I was like, help me make my org chart for my little coaching company here. My little $10 million coaching company to be. And once I had that laid out, then it was like, okay, you're going to have marketing. And to me, marketing is, sales is kind of split between marketing and program delivery, what we do. Mm-hmm. Like our people, it's very high touch. And so the program delivery and sales need to be integrated. And of course, marketing and sales need to be integrated. So I ended up with like, marketing, ops, program delivery. And I looked at those and I was like, okay, where are we with each? And what is the thing that we need to handle first? And it was clear, program delivery. I needed to have someone who could hold the spaces and could deliver the service in a way that allows for us to serve that many people. And simultaneously freed me up to be the visionary and frees me up. And this is a process that's still ongoing, right? Frees me up to do all the next pieces of it. So that was the first thing. And I was like, all right, we need, you know, I figured out what the roles were in there. And I'm like, all right, we need the den mother. So the program delivery manager, I've got to hire my den mother and I've got to hire, you know, I've got to figure out how, who's going to do you know, the offer magic that I do and can do that repeatedly. And then how do I teach them how to do that? So that was the first thing that I really dove in.
The first thing, yeah. There's 7 of them. So
yeah, 7 of them. And then just also just being like, and being okay with like, you know what? It's going to be schlocky until all these, you're not going to do it all, Elizabeth. Like you're not going to do it all. You're going to, the path is going to be shown and you're going to be, you know, doing it a step at a time. And that has required a lot of discipline because I don't know about you. I'm super high. So I think some of your listeners are probably like me in that they're super high quick start and your timeline is an hour or 5 minutes from now. And you see the finished product in your head. And then you're constantly annoyed that you haven't created that yet.
Right. Well, and that comes back down to, I think you need to have a 10X plan. So a lot of people are dissing entrepreneurs right now and teaching them how to 10X or stuff. And I'm like, you have to start with that. You can't build a plan to 10X if you're not going to think about 10Xing. Like it just doesn't work.
No, I completely agree. And there's a lot. Yeah, 100%. And there's a lot that gets set up. Like if you're looking to build it to 10X, if you're looking to go to 8,
right?
Well, you're going to handle a lot of things, whether you actually get there or not. You're going to handle a lot of things in the course of doing
right.
That.
If you're riding a bicycle at 10 kilometers an hour, 10 miles an hour, it's not going to take you to 100 kilometers or 100 miles an hour. It's not. You got to ride a different vehicle. And likewise, if you're in one that's going, you know, 60 miles an hour and you want to go 600, you're not going to ride the same vehicle. And you can't start with it and just incrementally work your way up. It doesn't work that way.
That's so important. Ding, ding, ding. You have to have the vision actually, you know, you have to give yourself a big enough of a launch pad to, or big enough thing to land on.
And when you're that big, you need to know that you may like to go up on stage and you're not organizing the party, or you go, you know, there's just so much stuff to do at that level that you got to figure out what are the pieces of the pie. Even though initially it might be like, here's my new org chart. Oh, me, 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 me. And I report to me. And then these three me's report to me. But that's okay. But then you know which ones you want to prioritize and which ones you're going to replace first. And
so true.
And hopefully she doesn't, me doesn't report to her anywhere.
Or me gets used to like actually handing things off for reals and letting someone else deliver deliver the outcome that goes with the role.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So give me an example of one of your Cinderella stories of one of your clients.
Oh, Cinderella story of one of our clients. Okay, let me think here. I had a few. I had a couple in there. Yeah, let me think. Let me pick out a good one. So a lot of times what they do, it's so interesting. It's like, so on the journey to 7 figures in 2 years or less, a lot of times people, they'll get their offers and they'll get to about 500. And then they're like, all right, give me the marketing apparatus. I'm ready. And I've had that with a number of our clients, one of whom is Lexi D'Angelo. She runs the Taboo School of Magic and Mastery, which is essentially a transformational coaching certification. Well, it's a lot more than that. But she came in at that beautiful pivot point where it's like, all right, I'm ready to do my real work. And she had built businesses in various guises. But she was kind of starting from zero, and she came in and got her offers, and immediately and a lot of what we created is still the foundation. And she immediately went from zero to 466,000 in a year. And then she went and was easily at 7 figures the next year because she had her foundation. So that was a fun one. And she added the marketing apparatuses back, but she, she was able to make the leap because she had the foundation. Another one is Joy, who you're going to be talking to. Joy came into our world at around 200, and she knew that she wanted to get to 7 figures and got her offers, leapt to 400, 450, and then was at 700 the next year. Or sorry. Yeah. She hit the million the next year because she had her channels. So, nice. And the thing is that they, you know, it's a real, what both of them did really beautifully was just get very real about what they wanted and also be willing to map their, what I call it, mapping your magic, like actually creating the channels that will create that for them, actually creating them, the offers, the vehicles in the business that can allow the revenue in, and being willing to do that without getting stuck in, you know, getting attached to what it had to look like.
Yeah. No entrepreneur has ever done that ever.
I know.
What's going on.
Yeah. And especially when it's your highest level work.
You're going to get attached to the thing, and you got to learn how to let it go.
We just have to be like, okay, I get to do my thing. Cause the attachment comes from like, well, I want to do my thing. Well, you get to do your thing. Well, with offers, you get to position your thing so that it can actually be seen by the person who's supposed to see it,
right?
You know? And both of them did that really, really well. Both of them were like, okay, I'm totally open to how my thing manifests itself. I have my standards. I know like where my deal breakers are. Here's what's important to me, and here's what I'm just not willing to get caught up in the weeds in.
Nice. I love it.
Yeah.
So somebody listening to this, what kind of obstacles might they be having in life or business that they're thinking, oh my God, Elizabeth, I need you so badly in my life.
Oh my goodness. Thank you for asking me this question. What a great question. So, our people come to us when like, okay, so our people are usually at 6 figures. They're usually at that low 600K, I call it the 100K to 200K ceiling. And that place for a coach, healer, conscious expert, someone doing transformational work. It's a tough place to be because you're working really hard and you're not making enough money is the bottom line. So for our folks, they're wearing all the hats. So they're doing the service delivery, but they're also trying to get clients with media. They may or may not know that the offers are the problem, but they're doing all this stuff to get clients. They're doing the launch. They're doing PLF to put some people in their masterminds, right? Or they're doing
100 grand doing PLFs. You are ambitious.
Right. Or you're trying to do, like, we had another one of our clients. She knew she wanted to up level her client base. She wanted to bring forward the next level of her work. And that's a huge trigger point for us. People who are at that, like, 100K, 200K, sometimes 300K mark, and they're like, all right, it's time for the next level of what I do, for the next level of person. Like, they're tired of working with beginners and they want to work with people who are more advanced, and they want to charge more money, and they want to serve a lot more people at the more advanced level, because that's just where they love to play. Right. So, but a lot of times they don't know how to make that transition. So that's one core symptom. And and they're usually doing stuff, a lot of stuff, to get the results. So for Ursula Amenches, who's another one of our clients, she was on stage. This was pre-COVID. She was on stages all the time. Or actually, no, she came in right at lockdown, so she couldn't be on stages, but she was ready to get off. All of her clients were coming through speaking. And she's like, I need another way to do this that doesn't involve me flying around the country. I need another way to do this that doesn't involve me with the big marketing apparatus.
Speaking of the universe stepping in and going, hey, we're just gonna mess with everything right now. I'm going, yep, you're right. You're not going on another stage to do anything.
You're not going on another stage. You know, so they're doing some form of, I'm doing too much stuff. And sometimes that's even just like, I'm writing all this copy and I'm churning out all this content and I'm not getting clients. Yep. And sometimes it's like, holy, you know, doodles. I'm looking at my calendar and I have 10 sales calls on this week and I'm supposed to take all these calls. Or they've been in some program that sets them up with a sales team. And I love sales teams. Sales teams at the right time are the most amazing things. And like it's time for our clients to bring the sales team back. They're going to be doing a certain amount of volume, and sales teams are fantastic. And I had an amazing one before, you know, I turned to this before I started doing this. But, you know, we've had one of our clients, Louisa, she was like, dude, 10 hours, 12 hours every week to sign up $2,000 clients. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. It's no good. It no worky. You know, all she wants to do is do her certification. All she wants to do is do her magic. And she's like, yeah. And I keep hiring these salespeople and they don't know what they're doing. And now I'm managing a salesperson. And I'm like, ah, right. I love that, because those folks are able to come in and get our phone selling technology and never take a call again. And it's like getting out of jail. So again, another form of, I'm doing too much stuff for too little return. I'm wearing too many hats. I know I'm wearing too many hats. I'm in the process of scaling where I'm wearing all the hats. I just want to do my magic. You know, another one would be, and I used to do this too, because if we don't have an effective offer, if we don't have an offer that really works, then we are going to need more messaging. We're going to need more. You're going to need to send the 5 emails out instead of, right? Mm-hmm. So our people will be like, okay, I just spent two months preparing a launch, whether it's PLF or something else, live launch, whatever the going thing is. And I wanted 30 people and I got 5. And man, I'm sad because I lost all that time. And it was way too much.
We've depressed the hell out of our audience. They're like, yeah, right, all right. We're throwing salt in the wind. We get it.
Yeah.
From you. How did they start their journey with you?
Sure. One of my favorites. So with all the strategy pieces are the energetic pieces, because in order to pull all this off, you need to really be embodying the leader. You need to be embodying the version of you that has created the 7-figure business. Just like, you know, I would imagine when you work with your peeps, there's certain ways you need to show up differently when you're going to 8, right? Well, for our folks, there's a lot of, you know, there's a certain way of being a leader that will help them get there easier. Because one thing we didn't talk about, one of the biggest challenges that our folks hit up against is what I call the inner friction. It's the, you're wearing all the hats, you're doing all the things. Oh, here comes the back out email. And all of a sudden you're on the thought trip and you're spiraling out of control. Or, oh, someone's complaining, or, oh, this thing happens, or, oh, you see someone in your feed.
There's a typo in my email. I clearly have to write them all myself.
I clearly have to write them all myself. Like all, just all that crap is a big, big part of what makes more work and makes hard. People are like, I want to collapse time. I don't want to be hard. And a big part of what makes things hard and puts like minutes and hours and months to your timeline is all the inner stuff. So I wrote a book called Seven Figure Goddess, How to Collapse Time, Grow Your Business from 6 to 7 in 2 years or less. That really shows people how to instantly snap out of that. And so you can download that at my website. So the best way for people to find me, our website, sevenfiguregoddess.com. And you can download the book there. And the book is a beautiful on-ramp to a lot of our philosophies about all the things I've been talking about, including the energetic pieces.
Nice. I love it. So peeps, we will of course have Elizabeth's notes in the, or links in the show notes. So just scroll down, go and check out those links while you of course continue to listen, because this is where the fun part comes. I get to ask you, at what point in life did you know that you were a special kind of crazy enough to think that you could become an entrepreneur?
That's such a great question. So there was a point where in my job, I used to call it my soul sucking job. And it was hard because I loved my people. I loved the people there, you know, but I was like, I'm not cut out for getting up and fixing computers at 2 a.m. And there was I literally can't do this. I can't do work that I'm not here to do. So there was an element of like, I'm unemployable at that moment. And there were several points in that last year where I'm just like, I literally can't get out of bed. Like I could get out of bed, but it was very, very difficult because I'm like, it is painful to go to work. It is painful. I'm not doing the work I'm meant to do. And I'm not supposed to be working for somebody else. I need to make something much bigger than just what a salary could be. And I don't want to do it in someone else's company. I want to do it on my own. So there was like these points where I would wake up at my last job and be like, this is painful. I can't do it. And as soon as I left, even though I left with a wing and a prayer and like 30 grand in the bank, which doesn't go far in New York, and I didn't have a clue as to what I was doing. Don't do that. Don't quit cold turkey. There were no resources at that. There weren't as many resources at that time for what we do. And there are now, like,
even if you do, you'll survive, Elizabeth.
Right. Said. But that was really just like, there were several.
Not the best plan.
But it was also the best that I had. It was like, I didn't think of anything else at the time.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
Yeah. And I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I think I'm actually unemployable, you know? And then as soon as I remember the first time shortly thereafter, when I learned about info products and, you know, turning your computer into a cash machine and the kind of things we were talking about then. But I was like, wait a minute, I can make my own stuff and I can sell it directly to my person just by sending an email with some stuff in it. Where do I sign? Right. I remember thinking like, what? I've got to learn how to do that. That is cool. Yeah. And then I was pretty much curtains from my engineering job.
That's awesome. So in your entrepreneurial life, would you say that you've captured some moments in your blooper reel? Yeah.
I think I've had a few.
Any you're willing to share with us?
So one of my biggest bloopers, and it's just like painful, and I don't know how dramatic those sound, but like when I started Goddess Business School, which was my first, you know, the first seven figure business. I really did have this feeling of I will build it and they will come. Mm-hmm. So I trained like 5 coaches to handle all the clients that we would be handling. And then I couldn't keep up with the lead generation that would require to have them all firing at all cylinders the way that they wanted to. So all of a sudden I was like, oh my goodness, I've got a whole bunch of people on my team who are expecting me just to feed them clients. And I can't do that. Like, I don't even know what to do there. So that was a big, like, whoopsie daisy. And it was painful too, because of course I didn't want to let people down, and I didn't want to, like, you know, they were great.
It is one of the heartaches of the online world though, is to sell it and then build it, as opposed to build it and they will come. It's really hard to wrap your head around. Like, really, I sell it first, doesn't work.
And like, I was like, there was a part of me, and I guess this is one of the things I think about scaling that I've been thinking about a lot, is that it is the process of solving problems. And it is the process of getting out of your blind spots. It's the process of like, ooh, let's eliminate the whoopsie daisy as much as we can by thinking things through events, through in advance, and thinking, okay, these are the different challenges that we're having, or problems or things that need to be fixed. I will use that language. And then like systematically fixing them, or teaching your team to systematically fix them. And at the time I didn't see any of that. I was just like, of course we'll have all the clients in the world. I'm a master marketer already.
I have a computer and email.
I have a computer and I've been studying with like greats for years, and everyone loves my copy, and I can send out an email, make a bunch of money, and like, therefore. Yeah. Yeah. That was like a, oh no.
That's awesome. You have been absolutely awesome. Thank you. Any last words for our peeps?
I just want to celebrate your people who are listening. I usually, when I do these interviews, I just like to first acknowledge those of you who are here and listening and like doing what it took. I always like to say, thank you for doing what it took to be here. Not just listening to podcasts. I know for some of you, it's like, well, I'm putting it on the headphones and I'm listening and I'm out doing my thing. It takes a lot of work to do what you're doing. It takes a lot of commitment and a lot of like grace with yourself and a lot of training, no matter what scaling methodology or kind of level of business that you're playing at. It's a big deal. So I just want to give your folks who are listening to this props and snaps and say, keep going, you know, keep going.
I love it. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for your time. I appreciate it. And I know how valuable it is.
Thank you. I really appreciate being here. Thank you.
Peeps, thank you for being here. This is Michelle Nedelec. Please be sure to subscribe to the show, share it with your friends. We love helping entrepreneurs grow. Thank you for listening to 7 to 8. If you're interested in upping your speaking game, be sure to connect with our guests with the links in the show notes, and connect with me to see how we can help you get your tech done for you and help your speaking dreams come true.